Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you by Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, is daf Kuf Mem Daled, and we're holding on Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Beit in about it's about a quarter of the way up. So yesterday, the last thing that we learned was that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it made no difference if you specifically announced that you wanted something for Mashkin, set it aside in your own mind for Mashkin, or whether it was set aside without any particular purpose in mind. But nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda held it was considered to be also. So said Rabbi Yehuda. The question that we have today is, V'sava Rabbi Yehuda Stam Masur, is it true that according to Rabbi Yehuda, even without saying that my purpose in setting aside these two team and rimonim would be for the purpose of mashka, but I just didn't say I wanted for ochel, he would be made to rachomim, even in such a case that it was asur v'hatznah. It says in the Braita, chalav eisha yumin, milk that drips out is metame, whether it's l'ratzon or shalol l'ratzon, whether it's wanted or not. So it's considered to be a mashke, and mashke means it would be makabel tuma, which could be one meaning of tame, or it would be makshir lekabel tuma. Whereas animal milk, chalav beima, is only matame if one desires it. But if one does not intend to take it out, or wants it, it's not considered to be a mashke. In which case, even if it was touched, let's say, by a dead sheretz, or it fell on something, it itself wouldn't become tame in the case of maga, or it'd be makshir. To which Rabbi Akiva responded, "Omer Rabbi Akiva, that doesn't make any sense. Kav v'chomer hu. Obviously, the potential users of animal milk is much broader than the potential users of human milk, because chalav aisha shenem yuchad al ktanim," says Rabbi Akiva. If human milk, which is only set to be used by infants, is still considered to be a mashke, and therefore it's mitameh, whether it's l'ratzon, shalol l'ratzon, it's always a mashke, whether it's b'mekabel tuma itself, b'mekabel tuma, then it's a kal v'chomer, that certainly chalav abehima, an animal milk which is used by everybody, we package it, sell it, it's miyuchad bein l'ktanim bein l'gdolim, it should certainly be considered to have a din of a mashke, and therefore b'mekabel tuma, b'makshel l'kabel tuma, eno din sh'yitameh bein l'ratzon, bein shalol l'ratzon. To which the Chachomim responded to Rabbi Akiva, that doesn't necessarily follow. Amru lo, im tameh chalav ha'isha shalol l'ratzon, the reason that the chalav of a woman is tameh is not specifically because of the fact that we look at how broad the audience of users are, but rather it's because the woman who got a wound, blood that would come from that wound if she cut her finger while cutting some vegetables, it's certainly shalol ratzon. Nonetheless, the Torah considers such blood to be tame anyway, meaning to be able to be makabel to him. Again, the word tame that we use is here doesn't mean it's tame. Why in the world should blood be tame? It means it's makabel to him if it touches tuma, or it's makshel makabel tuma. And over there, she does not want to cut herself. Nonetheless, if she does cut herself, it's considered to be dam kalalim, and therefore it would be mitame. So if that's the case, we also are mitame the chalav, which may possibly be because there's a relationship between the chalav and the dam, in which we say the dam is ne'apach liot chalav. So therefore, we could say that both would be metame bein l'ratzon bein shelo l'ratzon. Now, that doesn't mean that it necessarily follows or that there's any kal v'chomer to be made by chalava behema, because of a chalava behema, where it's shelo l'ratzon, over there, just if the animal had been cut, the din would be, that the amagavata would be tahor no matter what. Even if you went ahead to let blood from the animal would be considered to be tahor. And comes along Rabbi Akiva to answer, and he says, well, I don't think that necessarily follows, because the point over here is machmirani b'cholav midam. I consider b'cholav to be more chomer than dam, and therefore your argument about its relationship to the chalav ha'isha, to the dam ha'isha, doesn't follow, because what? Acholev l'refuatame. If somebody is cholev because the animal is engorged or has an utter infection. So over there, the din would be that such milk is considered to be the tummy, but hamekiz, if somebody lets blood for the same purpose in order to cure the animal of an ailment, the din would be that nonetheless it's tar, because that's considered to be dam chalalim, in which case the chadam shchita by an animal, in which case the chalav is clearly a greater chiyuv. So don't start bringing me rayas from the Dam of Venetia. And if that's the case, let us just limit our discussion to milk. When it comes to milk, we ought to take into consideration how much of a liquid it is in terms of its usage. And obviously, animal milk is a product that everybody drinks. Human milk is not. And therefore, it should be more likely to be makabel tuma itself, or to be marshal to be makabel tuma. Rulo, so they said to Rabbi Akiva, now hold on a minute. You're saying that something in the context of wanting it to be done should be an indication of what its status is to where you don't want it. And that does not necessarily follow at all. Because Zeitim v'anavim yochichu is an entirely different set of values when it comes to something that is desired to something that is not desired. Because if you take a look at a basket full of Zeitim v'anavim, so the din over there is that mashkina yotzimeim l'ratzoner tmeim. Only if the mashkim are desired would they be makabel tuma or be mashkim makabel tuma. But if they're not desired, shelo l'ratzon, they would not be considered to be a mashka, and they would be tahorim. Now I assume, the meaning of l'ratzon up until now that we've been using is that you specifically desire it. So the ratzon means the nechale, shelo l'ratzon means stam. You don't have any specific desire one way or the other. And if I tell you, now, this over here is clearly a problem because, look, we were talking about the question of tutim v'rimoni. Here we're talking about zeitim v'anavim. And I don't care who you learn this like. Whether it's Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan. It's even worse if you learn it like the Rabbanan. Because Kol Shekein, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, who is generally has higher standards for something to be a mashka, and therefore usher, if the Rabbanan are ready to say that Shalola Ratzon, the Gabi, this halacha is not considered to be a mashka, then Kol Shekein, that's Tom, Kol Shekein, Rabbi Yehuda would say. And this is Zeitim v'anavim, for God's sake. We're over there. We do not say that Rabbi Yehuda would be Mekel. Rabbi Yehuda is Machmer, and even so, Stama is considered to be Shalola Ratzon. Kol Shekein, when it comes to Tutim v'anavim. So from here, we see that there's no way that we could possibly maintain that Rabbi Yehuda holds that stam is considered to be the equivalent of ratzon. It's outrageous. Because I would tell you, with mazitim v'anavim, even Rabbi Yehuda is made it to the chachomim, we just said it a brighter. And they are considered to be min ha-stam b'nei shchita. And nonetheless, if it's shalol ratzon, which we have defined as stam, the din is that it's not considered to be a mashke, it's not makabel tuma, it's a mashke makabel tuma. So for heaven's sakes, the tutim v'rimonim, which was the case you were discussing yesterday, and you were saying, well, tutim v'rimonim, if it would be la mashke or stam, Rabbi Yehuda would have been made, that we have to be geyser, that it's if it's zov on Shabbos, it's a mashke, and therefore it's us. For heaven's sakes, how could you say that? If they're lav b'nei shchita ninu, so lo koshkin, that the stam is not going to be defined as a mashke? Yet you would have been 100% right if your assumption about the meaning of ratzon and lola ratzon was correct. I think we should change that, and we should read lo, that actually l'ratzon means stoma. That's the point. We were never discussing stoma as the lola ratzon. When we say l'ratzon, we mean when you didn't specifically indicate otherwise. But your lola ratzon means you specifically indicated that you do not want them to leak. So shalol ratzon means the goli diet and alone nechli. I do not want the mashka from this stuff. Well, you know what? Could be bechalal. There's nothing to discuss. What were we talking about over here when we say yochichu? Salei zeitim v'anavim. That's not a coincidence that we're talking about a case of salim. Salim, by definition, means that there's holes in the container. That's what we call a basket. Doesn't say karav zeitim v'anavim. Salei zeitim v'anavim is different, obviously, because salei shinei salei zeitim v'anavim. Because since in this case we're talking about something that's going to drip right onto the ground if it leaks. So there, for sure, it's not considered to be a mashka, unless you indicate otherwise. So I'll accept the fact that maybe stam in a kinami, it would be different. But in this case, since it's re'ibut kaimi, in this case, since there's no desire for it, because it's just going to be lost, what do I want it to be lost into the ground for? So mikor of kurim afkelu, you can't bring a riot from here that stam is not considered to be for mashkin. Maybe in a kinami, if it would be in a container where it wouldn't be lost if it dripped out, maybe a Riviera would be made that. So I don't know. No problem from here. Okay, getting back now to our discussion. So we were proving the assertion yesterday that in a case of Zeitim Vanavim, Rabbi Yehuda would be made it to the Rabbanon, that there would be a problem if even it was Zav Me'atzmo, because that's always, almost always, Oymet Eschita, and therefore would have to be Goyes, so that maybe you'll come to be Sechet, even if your original intent was not to be Sechet. However, when it comes to Zeitim, to Tim Verimonim, Rabbi Yehuda says that is something that is sometimes used, but if you set it aside for Ochlin, that is okay. And that's where the Rabbanon argue, and they say, no, even there, it's us. It's only in Shar Peirot we were claiming that when it comes to Shar Peirot, as I mentioned today, there may be no such thing as Shar Peirot. You buy a box of juice and just about anything that is available, they turn into juice. But once upon a time, and not very long ago, there was a whole class of Peirot that nobody ever drank. And therefore, those are called Shar Peirot. And over there we said that the Rabbanan Amud attributed that, well, if it's something nobody drinks, I mean, surely nobody's going to make quince juice or something like that. And therefore, there's no chashash that if it leaks on Shabbat, that he's going to come to be Sochet, and therefore we would not consider it to be something also to use on Shabbat. But you didn't prove that from the Braita. You asserted it. Now, you proved the first part from the Braita. The Rabbi Yehuda has made it to the Rabbanon, yes, but you did not prove the second part, that the Rabbanon remodeled Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Shar Peirot. So therefore, says the Gemara, Ashkan Rabbi Yehuda made it to the Rabbanon. Yes, you did prove to me, because Rabbi Yehuda said so openly in the Braita, that in a case of Zeitim Va'anavim, the Rabbanon, that it's considered to be usher because of this suggestion that the guy's going to get, that, all right, it might as well, what the heck, let me squeeze it. But you did not prove to me that the Rabbanon about it to Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peirot. Meanwhile, where indeed do we see that that would have allowed us to assert yesterday that such is the case? Ah, that is the following bright of the Tanya. So chatin b'pagain, if you've got prunes, you're allowed to squeeze prunes. I mean, who the heck would ever make prune juice? So you could certainly squeeze pagain. The truth is we don't make prune juice. We boil prunes and drink the water, and that's not what we're talking about over here. But we do not squeeze prunes. So therefore, the pagain, or prishina quinces, or ozardin, which I have no idea really what they are, there's a lot of discussion on what they are, but it could be that our dear Benson maybe even has a picture of ozardin.
There were no pictures.
Oh, well then he has a translation of ozardin.
Crab apples.
There we go, crab apples, as good as any other.
Years ago it was kumquats.
What was it? Kumquats. Kumquat, excellent. Okay, there's always some possibility. So it says over here that you can be sochet. Now, whoa. We weren't talking about being sochet. We were talking about what happens if it leaks. This does not seem to be related to what we're talking about. I mean, what do you mean you could be sochet? But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's pretend so far that we're talking about leakage, okay? So when it comes to kumquats, crab apples, and quinces, and prunes, in any of these cases, you can utilize that mashkin, avoloberimonim, but not when it comes to pomegranates. And in fact, Shabbat Menashe Bar Menachem used to make pomegranate wine, and they were sochet rimonim. I understand. How in the world does this prove that the Rabbanon Amoda to Rabbi Yehuda in other cases? Maybe this is Rabbi Yehuda's bright. I mean, it doesn't say who said it, does it? I mean, so you're trying to tell me, well, since it says there's no problem with crab apples, therefore it must be the Rabbanon Amoda to Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, if you can prove that this was said by the Rabbanon, maybe this bright represents the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, Yivelo Rabbanon, Mi Mai Rabbanon, says Gordani, you missed the point. I don't care whether the bright is going on Libra Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanon, okay? Because the issue over here is nothing to do with what we've been talking about. What have we been talking about? We've been talking about leakage. Here it's talking about the right to squeeze lechatchila, which would only mean that we do not consider the juice to be juice at all. It's not mashke, it's just another form of the prune. We don't consider it to be a drink, and therefore it's mutter because you're not doing anything. You're separating food from food, not mashke that is contained within a food. In which case, I don't give a hang if the Braita represents Rabbi Yehuda, because we have no reason to extend that machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan into this issue. I mean, Eimet Hashamit and the Rabbi Yehuda, Yatsu Miatzma. When did we hear Rabbi Yehuda's shita about allowing you to utilize this on Shabbat? When it leaked out, correct? Did Rabbi Yehuda ever say for a minute, Sochatin lechatchila mishamat, like, where did Rabbi Yehuda say you could squeeze something? So obviously, Elamait lach lameimar, what then are you going to answer me? Does this make any sense? The only answer you can give me is that kiven d'lav b'nei shchitaninu, that since they are something that are never squeezed, then afilu chatchila. So go ahead and squeeze it on Shabbat, because what's coming out is not considered to be a good drink anyway. In which case, why assume that the Rabbanan argue about this? This is not an issue that we found an argument in. We never even discussed this. There's no reason, therefore, that it should be limited to Rabbi Yehuda. So then even if it was going in the Rabbanan, you'd say the same thing. Given the lab b'nei shchitaninu afilu l'chatchila, and therefore, shmamina Rabbanani. So that would go according to the Rabbanan as well. Kol shekein. If it just leaked out, it's not going to be considered to be a mashke. You're allowed to be certain l'chatchila. So therefore, shmamina, that indeed the Rabbanan would have been made to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, you say, Shabbat Menashiah, we said, Bar Menachem, used to make Rimonim wine, and this apparently is significant, since they used to make Rimonim wine, it's clear that Rimonim are indeed not included in the crab apple quince category, but are included in the Tutim V'Rimonim, as pomegranates generally are, category. Reb Nachman, yep, we paskin like Beit Menashiah, Bar Menachem. Huh? I'm like, Rav, what do you mean we paskin like Beit Menashiah? Who are they? But Menashe ben Menachem all of a sudden becomes a Tana because he has a pomegranate factory. Menashe ben Menachem, Tana who? And I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, I mean, we paskin like the Tana who holds that since Menashe ben Menachem used to make pomegranate wine, therefore we paskin the Sobelakisha Menashe ben Menachem. What is that supposed to mean? Who is Menashe ben Menachem? Some weirdo that makes pomegranate wine. This is supposed to prove something about the nature of pomegranates. I'll bet you can find some weirdo that makes prune juice and markets it on Amazon too, or maybe eBay. So Mishum de Sovrek Menashe ben Menachem, therefore Halacha Kamoto, to understand. Menashe ben Menachem suddenly becomes Ruben Alma. And now it's clear, since Menashe ben Menachem does it, it's got to be that this is the way of the world. Oh man. Says Gemara, yeah. Why not? If we can find somebody that does it that way, why would that not define a proper usage? In, after all, the Tanan, Hamikayim Kotzim Bekerem, somebody keeps thorn bushes growing in his vineyard. Is that considered to be Kilai HaKerem or not? Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, it is Kadesh, the Pentugdash. This is a play on the word in the Pasuk, Pentugdash, which is the way that we refer to Kilai and Kilai HaKerem as Asur. The Chachamim omrim, no, in the Kaddish of the Navar Shekam Omikaimim, who grows thorn bushes? The Omrib Chanina, it is a little strange that Rebbe Eliezer should say that it's considered to be Kilayim. Why, indeed, does he say it? My time of the Rebbe Eliezer, Shekain Barabia, Mikaimim Kotze Sadot Igmalehim. Because in Saudi Arabia, indeed, they grow these thorn bushes, because the camels like to eat them. So therefore, it's considered to be something that you're Mekayim in the Kerem. Now, you could ask the same question. Who cares about Saudi Arabia? And yet, we do care about Saudi Arabia. And therefore, we should say the same thing. Who cares about Menashe ben Menachem? We care about Menashe ben Menachem. That's what you want to say. But you'd be wrong. Saudi Arabia is a country. Midi Ira, but this is a proof. The Arabia Atra. Over there, it's a whole place. It's a society. A society could be a basis for an assumption of halacha. But when one madman does something, we just assume he's crazy. So halacha butla dato et sokol adam. Show me that this is a common practice, not that there is a guy. I love these anecdotal evidence things. I mean, the whole world today is full of anecdotal evidence, which has led people to absolute insanity. So because of this, you find one guy who does something, so he's crazy. What does that prove? Ella Hainu Taim, the point over here, is in fact not, actually, what Reb Nachman based on the Psak over here, is not halakha because of this, it's because of Rav Chisda, and it's a whole misunderstanding, according to Rashi, it's a whole misunderstanding of the Braita. What Rav Chisda said was like this. The Yom Rav Chisda, if you take borscht, okay, so you squeeze some beets into a mikveh. Now this guy's figuring he can do both in one shot. Why go separately to the mikveh and drink borscht? Why not just put the borscht into the mikveh directly, and then he will be doubly tar before Shabbos, right? So he squeezes his beets into the mikveh. Now remember that a mikveh cannot be posel for mayim shuvim from borscht, because only mayim could be mayim shuvim. So even this would be a chaser mikveh, wouldn't be not a problem. But there's another issue, which is called shinui mar'eh. So if a mikveh changes colors, then it's not considered to be a kosher mikvah. But that's only if it changes colors because of a mashke. If you have it change colors for some other reason, it's not considered to be pasul just because it changed color. It's a mashke that changes colors. The problem is that squeezed beets, which are not really borscht, because beets as well need to be boiled in order to be turned into borscht. So who ever heard of a mashke called beet juice? And therefore, tradim shesachatam v'natanam b'mikvah should really not pasul the mikvah b'shinui mara. And yet, Rav Chisda says they are poslinat ha'mikvah b'shinui mara. Now, I ask you, does anybody squeeze beets? V'alav b'nei shchita ninu elamayit lachlamim. So, what are you going to tell me? You'll tell me, well, since this guy, imadak shavino, since this guy had in mind that he wants to drink it, for him it's a mashke. And therefore, that turns it into a mashke because of the context. Therefore, that's the point. In other words, that even though something is generally not considered to be a mashke, this is what Rav Nachman is saying. We say, sochatin bepagayinu befrishin. Well, now again, this is Rashi's approach. Many other Rishonim argue. And Rashi claims that the Gemara is changing its entire tfisa of the previous braita, which Ramban says is very difficult to believe. It doesn't say Ella. It doesn't explain. I mean, how would you say that? But the only way Rashi can figure to make it work is to say that when we said before that we are allowed to actually be sochet, it's where the purpose of that schita is for the pri. So in other words, when you give it a kfetch, it gets a little bit sweeter, softer, and easier to eat. So these are tough kind of fruits, crab apples, and generally something you bite into. But if you squeeze them, some of the mashke comes out. The point is not for the mashke. You're squeezing them in order to be mamatek the pri. And therefore, it says you can even do it l'chatchila. When the Braisa says you can't do it l'chatchila on pomegranates because Beit Menashe used to do that, l'tzorek, the mashke, wasn't referring, we're not talking about over here, the ming mamatek. Therefore, on Shabbat, Tainas, Rav Nachman, in that case, since there are those who actually would do it l'shem mashka, it's not because it's ruba the alman of trying to come to a conclusion that it's mashka. I'm only saying that, look, obviously it's possible to make pomegranate juice, okay? This guy makes pomegranate juice. So therefore, if you're going to squeeze a pomegranate, because it makes it easier for you to peel it or whatever, and suddenly you find you've got a glass of juice, why would you also not think, maybe we could squeeze this and have some pomegranate wine? After all, there are people who actually set up factories to make pomegranate wine. That's all Rav Nachman has said. So therefore, his svara was simply the akshave issue. And we are afraid, once it would be akshave, then indeed it would become a mashke and it would be aser. It would even be chayev. So we don't want to allow you to deal with things that some people might use for mashke, because you might become one of those people. A completely different issue. Rav Papa says, look, you guys are making everything so complicated. Borscht in mikvahs has nothing to do with the question of whether it's considered to be a mashke. The reason that the discoloration of a mikveh over here is considered, even though it's on a mashke, is able to pass it as a mikveh is because of a new clause, says Rav Papa. Mishum da'avi davar she'ino sim mimeno mikveh lechatchila. The rule is that whatever cannot be made into a mikveh, kol davar she'ino sim mimeno mikveh lechatchila, can be posel at a mikveh b'shinui mar'eh, not because it's a mashke, meaning defined as a mashke by the normal standards of halacha, but because it is a liquid as defined by its characteristics. So like liquid that is not usable in a mikveh can pass on mikveh b'shinui mara. It doesn't have to be defined as a halakhic mashke. And I'll show you this. Tanan hatam. Nafal letocho yayin o chometz. It is actually a sugya in mikvahot. Wine or vinegar, and this part is important, or mochal. Now mochal is juice that is dripped out of an olive. Now, it's not really oil. And it changed the color of the mikveh. It's pasul. Okay, now, we started off by discussing, we assumed, wow, that must mean that mochal is a mashke, because otherwise, how if it changed the mar of the mikveh could it possibly? I thought the only thing that possibly the mikveh is a halakhic liquid. Who, therefore, we asked over there, who is the author of this Mishnah that claims that Muchal is a mashke? And Abaya said it's got to be Rabbi Yaakov. The Tanya Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Mochal Hareu Kemashke, it's considered to be a real liquid. Umata Mama Mochal Ayotse Bitchila Tahor. So why then, if the olive has on it some liquid that has come out, do we consider it not to be Mekabel Tumah? Because I don't want it. I prefer the olive to first mature and get really soft when I put it. Remember what they used to do is they would put olives in the mitzvah, they would get, they would heat up from oxidation, become soft, then they'd really start to flow. Then I get the oil out of it, and like this is no good at all. It's taking out liquid without releasing the oil. I don't want that. I want it all to first get filled with the oil. So therefore, since I don't want it, it's not considered to be a liquid. Rabbi Shimon says, no, the point is ochel. Mochel is not a mashke at all. Now, you'll ask me, but then why does everybody agree that if you put the mochel into the ikub beit habad, where it's sitting there, in the press, waiting to get hot enough from oxidation to be pressed and soft, why there is it tummy? I'll tell you why it's tummy. It's not tummy because of the liquid of the mochel. That's not a liquid, halakhically. Would not be Mekabel Tumah, would not be Makshir Kabel Tumah. However, in that condition where it's already oxidizing, there's always a little bit of oil that's mixed with it. G-E-F shalo, below tzich tzuche shemen. That little bit of oil that's mixed with it, oh, now that is certainly going to be Makshir Kabel Tumah. Okay, but I mean, bottom line is there a difference between these two shitot? I mean, both of them agree that mochel that yotze b'tchila is tahar, and that mochel that was yotze v'mikol beit habad is tameh. Is there a practical mochel where they would argue that according to one, it's mashke, and according to the other, it isn't mashke? Yes, where there certainly is. The difference between them would be the atibater itzatzta. After it started already warming, and now there is still a long time before you're going to be able to have the useful material. So once it's already been pressed, so then enochinami, what are you going to say? You're going to say that there's, you want it? No. But does it have oil in it? Yeah. And therefore be Mekabel Tumah. Ravama, and here is where we get to our issue. Rava says, I don't care about. You jump to conclusions that it's got to be because the mukhla is considered to be a mashka, and therefore if the mikveh changed colors because it fell into it, it's therefore going to be possible. That's not why. The reason is because it's a davar she'eino sin emenu mikveh. Since you can't make a mikveh out of a lechatchila, anything that is not usable for a mikveh is posel to a mikveh b'shinui mara, just like Rav Papa hold. You are allowed to squeeze on Shabbat. Squeeze out of grapes, good Lord, if you squeeze it directly into your cholent pot. If you want to give a... You want to give a taste of grapes to your cholent. Squeeze some grape and get grape juice in your cholent. Because since the liquid is never going to be used as a liquid, it becomes part of the ochlin. Therefore, it is viewed as removing an ochel from an ochel, and not a liquid from an ochel, therefore there's no isser of disha.
What about for limited?
No, I'm not on the fire, obviously. It would be cool to the point where it's not going to be in the basha. All right,
that
so
be the same thing for lemon on salad?
Yes. But 1 minute about the salad. So that's latocha kedera, avalo latocha kiara, not into a plate. Now, what are we talking about when it's into a plate? Into a plate, some learns an empty plate. And the Chiddush is, even though the ultimate purpose is because I want to pour that into my cholent. That nonetheless, since meanwhile you're putting it into a plate, you shouldn't put it into a plate. Others learn that even if it's a plate that contains ochlin, like salad, since it's not borer, because sometimes a plate could be empty, you're just taking it to drink, so that it would also be usur. But in any event, mi'ikar hadin, Alma, what do we see from here? That since, I'm sorry, I skipped. So since it's considered to be an Eichlin, it's not considered to be Disha. Om Rav Chista, we can derive from that, Midiva Rabbeinu Nilmad, let us learn from this quote of Shmuel that you would be allowed to actually milk a goat into a quiche on Shabbos.
What? Quiche. Pashkita.
Real men don't eat it. So I understand that you wouldn't, having grown up among the Boers, telling them about quiche, they'd look at you like, they'd probably beat you up. But anyway, you'd be allowed to squeeze some milk out into that pashtida. Avalolatocha kiara, you just can't do it into a plate. Alma, so what do we see from here? Kasova mashka bala ochel, ochel. If the mashka is going directly into something that is a foodstuff, not a drink, it's considered to be foodstuff and is not considered to be a liquid. The sav are of Yedestama sur, Vyatsan, Chalava Isha Matamil Ratson, Shalal Ratson, Chalav Beimain Matamil Ratson, Omar Rabbi Akiva Kavachomeru, Uma Chalava Isha Shinim Yuchadal Diktani Matamil Ratson, Shalal Ratson. Chalav abeima shemiuchad bein lektanim bein legdolim. Eino dichi tamei bein leratzon ben shalol leratzon. Amru lo, im tamei chalav eisha shalol leratzon. Shedam agafata tamei itma chalav abeima shalol leratzon. Shedam agafata tohor. Amaleim, I'm more machmer on chalav mibadam. My proof is shacholev lerefuah is tamei. The refuah of the animal is tamei, and I make his dam for the animal lerefuah is tohor. Amrullah, well, there's no comparison between Ratzon and Lola Ratzon. Saleh Zaytim Vadavim Yochichu. Mashkin Ayotzim Me'em Loratzon Otmeim. Shalol Ratzon Otahorida. I'm assuming that Loratzon means that you want it, right? I mean, that's the way most people understand the word. So Ratzon is the Nechle. Shalol Ratzon is you didn't say anything one way or the other. Bistoma. So this isn't even the Tutim V'Ribonim. This is Zaytim Vanavim. So the Eve in Zaytim Vanavim de Bnei Shchita Nino, nonetheless, Shalol Ratzon is Velo Klum. So Kol Shekein Tutim V'Ribonim, which are Lav Bnei Shchita Nino, Lo Kol Shekein. So how can you say the Rebuta, well, even Tutim V'Ribonim is Stoba, is considered to be the equivalent of Lo Mashka? Well, maybe we should change your assumptions. Lo, Loratzon is Bistama, and Shalol Ratzon is only where Goli died to Beferush, and he says, Domalo Nechalik. Or, you know what, there may be a simple explanation. He might say, Shiny Salezetim Vanavim, Kiva de la Ibut Kaime, Mikor of Kurim Efkalo. Ashkan Rabbuna, you brought a proof. The Modi Lorabotim Zetim Vanavim, but you did not prove that the Rabbotim Modi Lorabiyuda Beshar Perov. You know, where'd you get that from? The Tanya. So chatim bepagayinu beprishinu bozardin, avol lo berimonim, v'shabet menashe bar menachem, ayu so chatim berimonim. So, what makes you think that's the Rabbanu? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda. You're trying to prove that the Rabbanu Ramadu to Rabbi Yehuda. I don't care if it is Rabbi Yehuda. Ema deshamadeh le Rabbi Yehuda yatsu me'atzmam. Did anybody ever say so chatim lechatkila, mishamatle? Elamayt lach lameim, are they keeping the lab in his chitaninu? Afilu lechatkila? So then, why assume there's any machloket? Afilu temer rabbanan. Give it a lab in his chitaninu, afilu chatkila, shmamina, rabbanan, shmamina. And if it's not ro'ui, or it's generally viewed as a mashke, it's nothing but Oakland anyway. Now, you say, Shabbat menashe bar menachem, hayuso chatim berimonim. Om Rav Nachman, yes, we paskin like Beit Menashe Bar Menachem. Om Le Ravel Rav Nachman, that's a brilliant psak. I guess Menashe Bar Menachem is the name of some famous Tana. Last I heard, it's the name of a pomegranate wine factory. V'chitei mahalacha ki hai Tana desavala kishal Menashe Bar Menachem. You think Menashe Bar Menachem has anything to do with the psak halakha? Mishum desavak Menashe Bar Menachem that he likes pomegranate juice. Therefore, halakha kamato. I mean, Menashe Bar Menachem is just an anecdote. You're calling that Ruba de Alma? Yes, I am indeed. In the time, Hamakayim Kotzim Bekerem, Rabbi Eliezer Merkadesh, Rechama Moreno Merkadesh, Eladover Shagamol Mekaimim, and Rabbi Hanina explained that Rabbi Eliezer's logic is. In Saudi Arabia, the Mekayim Kotzim Sadotim Naleim. So, you could say the same thing over there. Anecdotal evidence above Saudi Arabians. Ha! Ah, come on. I mean, there's a difference between Saudi Arabia and some idiot, isn't there? Meaning, the Arabia is Atra. I mean, it's an individual. It's a kol adam. Ella heine time kruf chista, the amr of chista trodin, she sochtam and notam ben mikva, post lina tam mikva bishinui mar e, vo labne schitaninu, ella mait lach lamem, ba kima da akshavino avelo mashke, ha kinami, kima da akshavino avelo mashke. Ruf papa amr, mishum da avidova sheno simi meno mikva lachatchila, kol davar sheno simi meno mikva lachatchila, is posted at the mikva bishinui mar e, even if technically it doesn't have halachic shem of a mashke. Tananatam, nafalatoko, yayin okometsu muchal. Vishina mar av the mikveh, it's possible. Now, obviously, there's got to be a Tana somewhere who holds a muchal as a mashka. Says Abaya, well, that must be Reb Yaakov. The Tanya Reb Yaakov, amir muchal, or yoke mashka. The only reason we say muchal, ayotze betchila is tar, is because you bedavka don't want it to come out because you'd rather it was sitting there to make the olive plumper as it eats. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mukhla is not Kemashka at all. The only reason we say Mukhla Yotzebiko Bekabat is Tame is because he have Shalobalotz Yitzuche Shemen. My Benayu, Ike Benayu, Deati Bata Ritzatsta. Rava says, what does this have to do with holding Mukhla as a Mashka? It's not a Mashka, okay? The problem over here is it's a Dovash Enosin Amen Mikvah Lechatchila. And therefore, anything like that is posel at hamikveh b'shinui mar'ah. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel sochet at hameshkor shel anavim b'toch hakedera, aval lo l'toch hakiara. Om Rav Chista, wow, midiber Rabbeinu nilmad, you can get fresh goat milk in your quiche. And cholev adam eiz l'toch hakedera, aval lo l'toch hakiara. Alma kasavar mashka bala ochel ochelo.
Today's daf is Kufnem Dalet. Yesterday we were discussing, and that's what we're holding our Kufnem Gimelam and Beis. Yesterday we were discussing the very fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan and the Mishnah as to whether you have to be choshesh that if you have mashkim shezogu on Shabbat. So now the shaila is, we're afraid that you may come to go and press the peres directly, and that would be a pu'ula of gisha, because you're separating out the mashka that's inside the kriya from the pri, very similar to separating out the motes from the tfua when you thresh it. And there we found a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, in which Rabbi Yehuda said, well, if Lamaisi had set it aside the chatzilah to eat, not to drink, you don't have to worry about it's the person changing his mind now and he's going to start pressing. The Chachamim say, in any circumstance, at least so it appears in the Mishnah, in any circumstances, you have to worry. In the course of going into this sugya, we found that Shmuel explained that it's not as simple as it looks. It's not that Rav Yehuda was saying under any and all circumstances, setting something aside la'echlin is sufficient that I don't have to be chashish. Nor is it under any circumstances that the Rabbanan held that the fact that it's possible that it should be mashkin would make it a chashash. But rather, we ended up understanding that there were three levels of peres. There are peres that are miyuched, almost entirely for shechita, and those are the peres which we call zeitim ba'anavim, in which 95% of the harvest goes for winemaking and for oil making. A few things are left over for consumption of individuals, but the entire industry is an industry that's interested in making mashkin. And then we have, on the other side, we have peras that are bechlal, people don't generally think of pressing at all, say a peach. And then in the middle we have peras that are often used for mashkin, but it's not, certainly you wouldn't say it's the primary use. And those we call the rimonim and the tuti. So, actually, Shmuel asserts that when it comes to zeitim vanavim, Rabbi Yehuda would be made to the chachon, that he might always change his mind beside the squeeze. When it comes to the lower class, there the Chachamim are made it to Rabbi Yehuda. If he set it aside for Eichlin, what should we care about? And the only machlokas is in the middle category of the Tutim Rimonim. Now, there was a word that was said yesterday, just sort of in passing, that triggers now an avalanche of problems. And that word was stoma. Let us take a look again where we were holding before, which was one about one third up in the back, and go over the last piece. Tutim shemashach mehem mayim, v'rimonim shemashach mehem yayim, v'yichnisan, לאוכלים היוצא מהמותר, למשקין ולסתם היוצא מהמסור. Had you set them aside for squeezing, or for that matter, you put them into the cabinet without thinking what you're going to use it for. Stop. Even there, it would be considered to be a yotzei mehem asur. Divrei Rav Yehuda. Those were the last things that we read yesterday. The Chachamim omrim, bein lo ochlim, bein lo mashkin, a yotzei mehem asur. There the Chachamim argue in the middle category of tutim v'rimonim. Today, the Gemara is concerned with the fact that we said stam, aliv Rav Yehuda, is the full equivalent of lamashkin and would be asur. Ask the Gemara, are you claiming here aliva this brisa? That Sava Rav Yehuda stam asur? So, in other words, saying, if I didn't say it was for Eichlin, then I have to consider that it's for Mashkin as well, and we view it as something that has to be fresh. How about the following question? The Atzma. Now, this sugya is a sugya that seems to be totally off the issue that we're talking about over here. This is a Vishen Machshirin. Remember the Klolim of Machshirin. First of all, only the Shiva Mashkin that are mentioned in the Pasuk are considered to be Mashkin. So that means your Siman is Yad Dam Shachat. Yad Dam Shachat. Anybody knows what it stands for? It's a word from our sponsor. Together with Susan Schatz.
Yad
Siman. Yad Siman. When you close the Yad Siman.
Yad
Siman. Yad Dam. Dam. Dam Shachat.
And
Shaman. Yeah, the truth is, I put it together in that way. The normal, but the reason I put it together in that way is that that way you get Yad Dam. So you have Dam Dvash, but you also remember Dalad Dalad is Dvash Dvorim, not Dvash Dvorim. So Yad, other people just say Yad Shachat Dam. That loses that additional thing. So it's Yad Dam Shachat. Okay, go ahead. So Mem, of course, is what a Mem is.
My.
Okay, and Shin,
Shemen,
and Chet,
Chalav,
and Tet.
Tet is Tal.
Not
Tal.
Tal.
Which is not
water? Yeah. Condensate. So, all right. So now we're concerned with, what's the din of those mashkin? The din of those mashkin, Bederach Klal, is that the Torah made a remez, if you remember, it says ki yutan mayim alzera, but it spells it ki yitay mayim alzera, from which we learn that it has to be ki yutan dubia b'chi yitay. You have to have a desire for that water to fall on the mashkin. According to some rishayim, from our sugya, we're also assuming that you need the mashkin to have come l'chatchila l'rotzen, not simply to have fallen on the things l'rotzen. And we'll talk about that in a moment. These mashkin, if they fall on something which grew, some type of foodstuff, that foodstuff is now royal makabel tumah. That's A. And B, these mashkin are makabel tumah. If something tamei touches them. So there's two sugyas, the sugya of makshirim, and then the sugya of kabbalas tumah directly. Fine. With that hakadama, let us take a look at this Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about chalav, because chalav can be either human milk or other mammals. And it says, Chalava Isha, human milk is metami l'ratzon, v'shalo l'ratzon. So if this milk, let's say, would fall, a woman is bending over, and some milk drips from her nipples onto a piece of peiris that hadn't been wet before, this pri is now royal to be makabel tumah, even though there was no desire for the milk to be dripping, and there was no desire to get it on the pri, and so on and so forth. Chalav behima, eno metami ela l'ratzon. Mashenkin, when it comes to other mammals, it's not metame unless you want it to be yours. Om Rabbi Akiva, does that make sense? Kavachomer, ma chalava isha she'eno miyuchad elo l'ktanim metame l'ratzon v'sholo l'ratzon. Chalava behima she'miyuchad ben l'ktanim ben l'gdolim eno din she'tame ben l'ratzon ben sholo l'ratzon. Which milk is more ubiquitous? Obviously, the behemoth milk. So if you're going to look at a mashke that you're drinking, and everybody who just went down and had your coffee, had milk in your coffee, it was behemoth milk. You don't drink human milk in your coffee, so that because that's miyuchat for ketanim, not for gedolim. In which case, if you're ready to say that human milk is metami shelo l'ratzon, kol shekei, animal milk should be metami shelo l'ratzon. So omrulo, they said to Rabbi Akiva, no, not necessarily, because there is something unique about human milk. What's unique about human milk? Im tamei chalav ha'isha shelo l'ratzon. You know why? Shedam magafata tamei. Now, so how do we know that blood is considered to be a mashke? Because it says dam chalalim yishte. Yishte means mashke. It's similar to mayim. How do we know that dam of a shkita of a behema is metame? Not because of dam chalalim, because a behema is not called a chalal. A chalal is a human casualty. A magafa, somebody hits their finger against something and it bleeds. It's also called dam chalalim. Because as the Mishnah says, as the Gemara says, what's the difference? Mali katli kule, mali katli pal? What's the difference if you kill a person, completely kill a person a little bit? The point is you take blood. That blood is the tilat neshama for that point. Okay. By behema, none of that would be true. So how do we know that by behema, dam would be a mashke? Because it says, ala oretz tishpachenu kamayim. Kamayim means it's like water. If water is a mashke, so too is dam a mashke. Now, that's only true with a zechiyah of ala oretz tishpachenu kamayim. But let's say where there's no ala oretz tishpachenu kamayim, where you stam a behema bled, there's no din of ala oretz tishpachenu kamayim. That's a din in where we're comparing the halacha of dam shkita v'chaya to behema. When you need kisei adam, you don't need kisei adam. So over there would be no comparison in the Torah of dam to mayim would be tahor. Therefore, taina the kachamim to Rabbi Akiva. Listen here, you're making a kal v'chomer that doesn't make any sense, because the reason that we said by an isha that her milk is tameh, even shalala ratzit, is not because we are being machmir. It's because there's different standards by an isha. In that, even something shalola ratzon, certainly a person who's walking along, stubs their toe exceedingly painfully, and it bleeds, it's dam agafata, I guarantee you it's shalola ratzon. I mean, unless he's an Arab, but generally speaking, you know, they like making wounds and seeing blood, and it's part of the religion. You know. There's also some Christians that enjoy that same kind of thing. But normally speaking, a normal human being is shalola ratzon. So shalola ratzon, nonetheless, the Torah is telling me it's coming, because of dam chalalim. Okay. So if that's the case, then it makes sense to say that the chalav will also be tummy. Why it makes sense to say that chalav will also be tummy is a big machlokas rishonim. Rashi learns because dam and chalav are interrelated. Because as we see, hormonally, when a woman is bleeding, she isn't lactating. If she's lactating, she isn't bleeding. Fine. But if that's the case, that's called dam ne'ekar v'na'aseh chalav. If that's the case, tainis taisvis, then what do we need a separate raya that chalav is tummy? If dam is metamis, then chalav is metamis. So the other approach that's most commonly accepted is that all the Gemara is trying to say over here is that the various mashkim that come out of an organism are similar to each other. So if the Torah is willing to be machmir on Anisha, that her dam should be metamis or machmir, even shalola ratzon, maybe that's why shalola ratzon of the chalav would be also metamis shalola ratzon. Mashenken, when it comes to a behema, we never find that the Torah said that shalola ratzon is considered to be mashkin. And mamela, you cannot make your kal v'chomer of Yaki because it's irrelevant. Who cares how much of a commercial product the milk is? It's a non-issue. That's the taina to Rabbi Akiva. Now, I just want to mention, that the idea that the material, the mashkin, needs to be initially the ratzon here, is a question whether that means in order to be makshir it needs to be l'ratzon, or even in order to be makabel tumah it needs to be l'ratzon. Because bepashtus, the l'ratzon din is derived from kiyutan, which is only a din in hechsher, kiyutan dumi l'chiyite, in which case the entire discussion over here should only be in terms of hechsher, and indeed so learn a number of later mishnayot. However, Rashi says over here, even Lagavi Kabbalah's Tuma itself. Fascinating. Furthermore, you should know that in the Sugya, in Makshirim, the Tosefta basically asks, and well, what about rain? When you say rain is, it has to be the Ratzon, I mean, what? Is that what you're saying? The fact that it's raining, you have to make it rain. You have to want it to rain. You weren't outside when it was raining. Well, I understand. Are we going to question where water came from? Water's coming out of your faucet. It's not metame, not makabel tumah, or not maksha, because maybe when it rained, it was on somebody's head. So there, it's mechalik between those things that are given al kol olam kulo and fall down all over the place, and things that you make happen. Okay. So that just you should know, obviously without going into the sugya much here over here, but just you should know that it's not so partial this need at the makor rather than at the point of hechsher for ratzon, is a question to Chalal whether it's Nogia Kabbalah Sturm, and a question on what materials it's Nogia. In any event, so far, this has nothing to do with our Sugya. So therefore, says the Gemara, says the Chachomim to Rabbi Akiva, we don't understand what your Kal V'Chomer is. Seems to be irrelevant. Amar Lahem, so he told them, now wait a minute, don't talk to me about Dam. Don't try to tell me that because the Dam, Madrafa, of a Behema, is not Makshir, so too the Cholov should not be Makshir when it should roll the roads. Because Machmir Ani B'Chalav Mi B'Dam. I'll prove to you that the two are not comparable B'Chalav. The reason is, Shacholev L'Rufua Tamei. If somebody milks an animal because it's utters in work, the din is that that's included in the Ratzon. I mean, you want this milk to come out. So Mamela, that milk will be Makshir. Whereas Hamikiz L'Rufua, if somebody does a bloodletting on an animal, it's still taller. So you see from there that you cannot compare directly Dam to milk. You yourselves are made that the din is completely different. Because one is what? It doesn't matter. That's called the rotso. You want the smoke to come out. That's called the rotso. Not necessarily to drink. Never said anything about drinking.
So why does this make him sad? Why does this make him treat it as a mashke? Does it remove the unwanted
substance? It doesn't. Which makes it treated as Kiyutan.
So why would the blood be any different?
Because the blood, there's no reason for it to be tonic. There's no mokka for it to be tummy. Dam chalal doesn't refer to animal blood. It doesn't matter whether it's l'rotzon, that's the point. Because it only matters that it be called alar tishvachenu kamayim. This is not called alar tishvachenu kamayim. Exactly, it's only shmita, by definition. Omrulo, so they said to Rabbi Akiva, you still can't compare dinim of rotzon and shaloi l'rotzon, which is what you're doing. You're making a kal v'chomer from the isha. And you're saying that because of the fact that Cholov is more Chomer than Dam, therefore I have a right to compare Shalol L'Ratzon and L'Ratzon. Excuse me, but that has nothing to do with each other anyway. You're, again, it's irrelevant what you're saying. Because I'll show you that Ratzon itself and Loi Ratzon are totally different. Why? Because Saleh Zekim Va'anavim Yochim. I'll prove it to you that it's very different from the case of basketfuls of olives and grapes. Because over there, liquids that come out l'ratzayin are going to be tamei. Whereas if they come out shalol l'ratzayin, they will be tahor. So you see that even those things where we have no question about the nature of the liquid, nonetheless, shalol l'ratzayin and l'ratzayin are absolutely definitive. Now, when it says that, l'ratzayin and shalol l'ratzayin, how do you understand that? In my lab, the ratzon means the nechalei. I want it. Because that's what ratzon means all through the sugya. I want this liquid because I intend to use the oil. I want this liquid because I intend to use the grapes, right? Shalol ratzon simply means I have no intention one way or the other. Because that's what it means all along as far as Tumah V'Tahara is concerned.
Is this the same as yesterday when he didn't want
it? Oh, that's exactly the problem. That's why we're asking this question. So consider now. Umar zeitim v'anavim v'bnei shchitanim. Shalol ratzon v'lo klum. If it's saying over here that if you didn't even desire that it should be dripping, that it's not considered to be a meaningful mashke. So tutim v'rimonim, the lav v'nei shchitanim. Over there, b'chalal, it's not generally set aside for shchita. So isn't it obvious that stoma lo kol shekin? Isn't it obvious that stoma is not considered to be something that makes me focus on the mashke to give it a din of the mashke? And yet, now who's saying this? Tell me. Are the Chachamim saying this? Who's Rabbi Yehuda saying this? In other words, we know that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, when it comes to Sugya and Shabbos, have a difference of opinion as to how valuable we should view the liquid element of something that you haven't intended to squeeze, right? Now, no matter how you learn, we've got a problem over there. Because Zeitim v'anavim, it says over here that Shalol Ratzon Stam, are not going to be makabel to. Whereas we said, even if you were machmisam la'ochlin, or if you're machmisam la'ochlin, that's better than stama, right? Said all along. That there's still going to be a gezeira. And that even Rabbi Yehuda was made into the Chacham. So no matter what, we've got a problem with this. I mean, if this is the way we're going to learn, this doesn't make sense to anybody. But it's a ben b'neisho kabuchorma when it comes to tutim v'rimonim. Now if you're going to tell me, and maybe this is going like a Chachamim, So I'll tell you, if it's going like the Chachamim, it's even worse with the Rebbe Yehuda. Because things that the Chachamim hold are mashke, Rebbe Yehuda holds is not mashke. So how's it going to help you? You just make it worse by saying he's going to the Chachamim. You make a problem for the Chachamim and for Rebbe Yehuda. So the Mishnah is asserting in Makshirin that stomach is considered to be the equivalent of Lola Ratzon. I don't understand what you mean by that. So how could you say that stomach? You're saying that stoma over here is considered to be the full equivalent, says Rebbe Yehuda. Stam is us. And over here it's clear that tutim v'rimonim, that local shekain, that stoma is considered to be not. I already explained that. Answers the Gemara, who says that that's what it means? Maybe shalol l'ratzon is literally shalol l'ratzon. Maybe the point is like this. L'ratzon is stoma. Shalol Ratzon may be that he says, I don't want it to be wet, which is even better than the case of Machbisa. In other words, he says the Farish, I don't want this to be wet. It's going to wreck it for me, it's going to make it sticky and disgusting, I don't want it to be wet. So if he's Megala Batsi, he doesn't want it to be wet, then it makes it even more not a Mashkin than if he was Machbisa for Oakland. And that answers the whole problem. Hachmatzva Ochlin in Archinami, maybe I have to be Machmara. But if it says over here that it was Shalola Ratzon, Shalola Ratzon means I don't want it to be wet, not that I was Machmatzva Ochlin. Okay, so if that's the case, then already, of course, it has nothing to do with stomach. There is no stomach here. That's one approach. Anybody saying that there's another simple approach? You'll notice what the case was over here. The case was Salezetim Vanavim. Did it ever occur to you that if you're using baskets, that the liquid's going to leak out? Or are you stupid? If the liquid is going to leak out, you can't say that that's considered to be the ratzon. Because the guy has no das on it at all as mashka. But if it would be a real plastic bag, and you would be collecting it, maybe even tutim v'rimonim would be stoma, would be a mashka. Even if stoma means literally stoma. So it would be no stira to the brisa we had before, in which Rebbe Yehuda says that stoma is also considered to be choshuv lamashka, and I have to worry that maybe you're going to squeeze it on Shabbos.
If it's a container
that holds the liquid. Okay. So basically, again, this thing is something of an aside, because originally we determined three liquids and two states. And three liquids were three categories of liquids. Zeitim v'anavim, tutim v'rimonim, and at the bottom, perot that are not generally squeezed at all. We distinguish two states for these things, hichniso l'ochlin, or hichniso l'mashkik. We were reasonably happy with our approach to the sugya up until we brought the bride yesterday. The closing words of the bride that mentioned stama threw a monkey wrench into our simple world, and made us realize that why are we limiting it to two states? There's a state where it's low. There's a state where it's lamashkin, but then there's just a state where you put it in the fridge, you didn't say what you're going to do with it, and you didn't decide what you're going to do with it. Sometimes you drink your oranges, and sometimes you eat your oranges. So what about that state? So the Braita asserted that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that middle state of stoma is the equivalent of mashkin, because your mind is open to the possibility of squeezing it. So if your orange starts leaking, you're going to take it and figure, okay, I'll squeeze it the rest of the way, and then you'll be over on Dishan Shabbos.
With oranges, people squeeze oranges.
Oranges, not, obviously this is culturally dependent. So oranges would be like rimonim.
There's
something else in it. Would be because I said, I'm not, and that's usually, you have to use your sack or whatever the case is. Fine. So therefore, we got into today's question. Now, today's question was something of a tangential issue, which was to determine the status of stoma. That's all. We found that it's got to be that Alibad Rebbe Yehuda, that at least it seemed to us that he was saying over here that stoma is called Shalola Ratzon. And yesterday the Braita said that stoma is called Lamashkin. And when it came to the sugya of milk, the milk also had the same issue of the Ratzon or Lola Ratzon. And we brought in now into that sugya Zeitim, Vianavim, Tutim, Rimonim, and discovered that stoma is considered to be Shalola Ratzon. So why in our Braita is Rebbe Yehuda not here? So we have two possible truths. The case that we were bringing in the milk issue in Machshirin was talking about a basket. And if it's in a basket, the stomach is that it's not an interest for mashkin because the mashkin drip out. And therefore, you're not even thinking about mashkin, because otherwise you wouldn't have put it in a basket in which the liquid can leak. That's the simplest solution, and of course, that nogea, our sugya. The other solution is much more complex, because the other solution, at least the way, I don't think it's worthwhile wasting the valuable time with comments in which each word over here is choshen. So according to Rashi, the reason that the solution is complex is because Rashi introduces now a fourth state. There is a state of Yichnisam L'Arifah. There is a state of Yichnisam L'Mashkin. There is a state of Stam. And there is a state in which you assert that you don't want Mashkin, which is different than simply putting in La'olam. If you specifically do not want Mashkin, then Enoch Inami, that state could be even the Rabbanan would be made that there's no problem. And when it comes over here to the issue of Kabbalah's Tuma, or, according to the other Rishonim, Heksher and only Heksher, then Enoch Inami, an assertion that I don't want Mashkin, is much more powerful than a simple equivalent to Ichnis and La'ochah. So that is the most complex possibility, is that we end up with four different states, three different types. And that's where we are holding right now. Okay? For those of you who came late, you might as well give up. Again, the three different types.
A little three.
Yeah, the same old fashioned three. What was it? The father, the son? No. It's paying a little bit of attention. Okay, so now we have a fine, clear-cut sugya for those who were here from the very beginning and paid close attention to every word. Missing the first 5 minutes is entering hell. Missing the first half hour simply allows you to ignore it as if it never happened and go on with your life. So the question is, which one is better?
That's correct. The malfunction.
Which one is better? Better they just shouldn't know?
My high school model was better to be confused and not to know at all, so.
Okay.
And how did that work out?
Works for me.
All right. We try harder. Okay, so now Shmuel has managed to prove to us by means of the Braita yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda indeed is motivated to the Rabbanu when it comes to Zeitin Ba'anavi. Because he said so, the Feirush. So Ashkechan, we now have found a source for Shmuel's assertion that Rabbi Yehuda is motivated to the Rabbanu b'Zeitin Ba'anavi. How about the opposite? Because Shmuel also claimed that the Rabbanim are motivated to Rabbi Yehuda b'Shar Peirot. Now when it comes to none to Timberi Manim, to the bottom level, that the Chachamim are motivated, how do we know that? We know that. The Tanya, amazing Braita. The Braita says, So Chatim b'Pagain u'b'Frishin u'b'Ozardin, so you can take quinces or prunes or quam cuts, whatever you call them. What do they call them?
Kumquats.
And you can actually squeeze these things out. Ooh. So there's no Isser of Disha. Woo. No Isser of Disha. That's what it's mashma, huh? No Isser of Disha. Why would that be that there was no Isser of Disha? This is third category. So how could there be no Isser of Disha? So there's a number of different approaches. Some taina that this is shalok derech disha. So you'll ask, but nonetheless, the Chachamim always assert b'diavad a shalok derech disha. But over here, this is the Egle Tal Yisod. The Egle Tal is the same written in the 12 Tal because it's on the Lamed Tet Melachot. Right? So the Egle Tal has a Yisod that if you have a shinoi, both in the mode of doing something, and in the results of doing something, they didn't ask it. They only asked it when the mode was different. But since over here, these things are bechalal, not meant for Disha, the results are also different, because this is not what people usually do.
You don't call Jews?
There's Jews people don't usually want. Therefore, it's not their Disha.
It's not the same result.
I find that a little bit difficult to swallow, excuse me. So, the other approach, which is found in the Rishonim, is that juice of such things is simply another means of eating it. Where you have a concept called juice, and people are machshed the juice separately from the pre, then you have a concept of disha. But when you prepare the ochland in two different ways, there's no such thing as disha. There's a way to eat ozar din by chewing on them, and there's a way to eat ozar din by swallowing them. And swallowing them, obviously, it's easier to do it when it's a liquid surah. But that doesn't mean that you've done a piruk of what was inside from what was outside. You're simply eating it in a different way. So that is a completely different approach, in which disha does not apply where you have two different forms of an ochland. It's called uchla d'ifra, simply an ochland that was separated from, taken out from where it was. Was stored inside, but that's a trina issue. It's not a disha. You can't squeeze carrots to get anything out of them. That's trina. Okay. We're not going into the halacha. You shall bait avalob rimonim, but you can't do that to rimonim. And shall bait menashe bar menachem, or yesochatim rimonim. You see that these guys, they used, not on Shabbos, of course, they were shem Shabbos, but you see that these people enjoyed rimonim juice. And that proves that rimonim juice is a reasonable thing to enjoy.
Yeah.
So first of all, I ask you, forget about what this means, menashe bar menachem, we'll get back to that. But you're claiming that this proves that there's a third category, such as Pagaim, Prishim, Ozadim, in which the Rabbanan are made it to Rabbi Yehuda that there's no problem of the mashkin that leak out, right? How do you know this is going according to Rabbanan? The other case, I know how I knew it was going according to Rabbi Yehuda, because it would have just made things worse if it was going according to Rabbanan. But how do I know that this isn't Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Dilma Rabbi Yehuda, maybe Rabbi Yehuda is the one who's saying this? Says, you know what, a lot of good that's going to do you. Let's say it's Rabbi Yehuda, okay? Did the Rabbanan ever argue on Rabbi Yehuda about whether it's mutter to do Shita on Shabbos? Never! Right? You're going to put your neck on the line for this. Never.
Why should anybody else?
Nobody would argue. The only question is, well, you got to worry if someone will do it. But certainly, there's no question that you're not allowed to do it. So Rabbi Yehuda also agreed. Chas v'shalom, you're allowed to do Shita. And yet over here it says you're allowed to do Shita. Now that was not part of the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, correct? We have no reason to think that this braita, as a matter of fact, has anything to do with the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. It's a completely different issue. Is there a category of peirot to which shchita is permissible? That's what you're asking. No. So if that's the case, if I find over here that Bain Rabbi Yehuda and Bain the Rabbanan agree that there's a category of peirot that you can be seichet, you're telling me that the Rabbanan are going to argue, but we're afraid you'll be seichet then if they leave. So what's the problem? The only machlokas that we ever found was in a question of something leaks. But sochatim lechatchila mishametli? Did anybody ever say you could actually go ahead and squeeze out on Shabbos? Elamayit lach lamima, what are you going to answer? You're going to have to say that no matter who the sheet is going according to, that kima delav b'nei shchita ninu afilu lechatchila, since these are not things miyuchadim l'shchita, so therefore there's no issur shchita. Again, there's machlokas as to what the reason is. But if that's the case, then I feel tamer abona. Kima de lav b'nei shchita ninu afilu lechatchila. It can be going just as likely according to the Rabbanan as according to Rabbi Yehuda. There's no reason to think that's even a machlokas. Once that's true, so then how would the Rabbanan be machmer mashkim shezovu? Therefore, shema mina Rabbanan, shema mina. So memela, it must be that Shmuel is correct in saying that just like Rabbi Yehuda is made it to the Rabbanan when it comes to Zekim v'Navim, so too are the Rabbanan moda to Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Pagaim v'Rishin Ozardi. Now, what is this Beit Menashe bar Menachem? Are you so chatim b'rimonim? Who are these guys anyway? So these guys used to squeeze pomegranates. What a lovely anecdote. Omer Nachman, well, halacha kishal Beit Menashe bar Menachem. That's how we paskin. Omer Nachman, what paskin? What paskin? What do you mean? We're all mechuyev to drink pomegranate juice. Always. That's the psak over here.
We used to your hearts.
What are you talking about? They didn't do it on Shabbos. Omer Nachman, not but Menashe, but Menachem is a Tana who said it then. What are you saying? Are you saying the chitim? You're trying to say no. I mean the halacha is like the Tana who holds that pomegranate juice is usher because, after all, that Tana is supported by the data of the survey that we made, and we found that Menashe ben Menachem actually sits there and boasts likud. So mishum desaver to Menashe ben Menachem halacha kamoto. Who the heck is this guy anyway? So he votes we could. So now on the basis of a sampling of 1/1,000,000,000%, you're now deciding that the Likud's going to win. What does this have to do with it? The Menashe ben Menachem, the Ruben the Alma? Well, this is now a statistically meaningful analysis. Menashe Ben Menachem drinks pomegranate juice. I mean, it's not an advertising campaign.
Celebrity endorsement.
Exactly. Never even heard of the guy. So why is he mentioned, Menashe Bar Menachem, in his psak? Answers the Gemara, indeed, in this particular case, an individual is a meaningful statistic. I'll prove it to you. If somebody wants to grow a bush of, what was it that you were eight?
Thistles,
exactly. So if he wants to be Mekayim thistles in his vineyard, then he is going to make it Kilayim, according to Rabbi Eliezer Amar Kidesh, Chachamim Reino Mekadesh. The thistles can be Mekadesh, the Kerem used that Lashon Pentu Kidash, because that's the Lashon, the Torah uses Pentu Kidash, we use the Lashon of, which we dash it to Kad H, that it has to be burned and so on. But here too, we use the Lashon Mekadesh, means Aser. The Chachamim Amrim, what are you talking about? If it's something that people don't want to grow, then it's not us Mishum Kilayim. That's the weed. My time, Rebbe Eliezer. You know why Rebbe Eliezer holds it to us, sir? Because she came by Rabbi, I'm a kind and cutsy sotot with Malayan. Because in Arabia, they have thistles. The camels like to eat the thistles. So you can add Sinkasha over there. Arabia. Here's about Arabia. Those are Arabs. Ah, come on, you're going to bring me a riot from that. Meaning, that's a riot that an individual is a meaningful statistic? What, Menashe Bar Menachem is Saudi Arabia?
Well,
I mean, Arabia is a place. Arabia Asra, I understand, that's a place. You're telling me there's a society that does that. Okay, fine, that makes it kosher. I understand, but over here, you're bringing me a riot from an individual. An individual is Bako Da'atari Sokol Adam. Why would an individual be important? If you can't show me that it's statistically meaningful, I say, so he's crazy, so big deal. What does that prove? Now remember that Tosfos points out the contradiction. This is something very important in the Kuda as to how we take into consideration anecdotal elements or statistical elements, the Psak Halacha, that the Gemara asked earlier, the Chihutzal Ruba the Alma. Chihutzal was also the name of a place. We treated Chihutzal with the same exact disrespect that we treat Menashe Ben Menachem. We say, who cares about one place? In the same way we say, who cares about one guy? And over here we're saying, well, if it's a place, you can't just throw a place out just because they happen to have a lot of oil there. I mean, it still shouldn't be enough to make it the determining factor. Tosis over there answers not the difference is region and place, but rather the difference is the reason. The reason that in Arabia they grow thistles is because they have camels. If you would have camels, you would go thistles. So therefore, it's meaningful because it's not just a question of something that they happen to be doing. So we're saying now there is definitely a clear-cut market for thistles, even if thistles are encroaching. So therefore, what's the problem? Mashenke, something that just happens to be the way you happen to carry things on your head in Hutzal. So therefore, it's called Derech Hutzal. What, because in Hutzal they're crazy? Who cares if they carry it on their head and so on, right? You could stand on your head also. That's not going to mean to me that the way of locomotion should be considered to be carrying while you stand on your head.
What's that?
Okay, fine. We discussed that. We did discuss that issue over there. But the point is, if it can't be carried, otherwise it's not. That was a mission. In any event. So therefore, we still want to know why it is that Menashe ben Menachem pops up in our sugya, since he's irrelevant. Ela says the Gemara, okay, I give up. Hainu taima, the real reason has got to be to Rav Chisda. The Yom Rav Chisda. The real reason, when we say that so we were trying to bring a raya before. We were trying to bring a raya before that Ein Seichatim in the Rimonim because of Menashe Bar Menachem. That's not what Rav Nachman meant. What Rav Nachman was really thinking was that he was going like Rav Chisda, in which even though normally something is not considered to be a mashke, but the fact that you were machshav as a mashke would be sufficient to give it a din of a mashke. Where do we see the Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman holds this. The Omer of Chisda, Tradim Shesachatan. Now, certainly nobody would squeeze beets. I mean, that would be just plain borscht.
Yes.
So somebody now who squeezes out beets. We've had this discussion before about how the Selek, the Tereb, Okay, whatever it is, it's something that's completely not... Okay, let's call it spinach. Fine. And now you take the juice, and you pour the juice into a mikveh. That juice will passel the mikveh, the shinui mar. So that means, what we're saying is, that now we're understanding everything in a completely different way. Before we thought the idea is for the mashke itself. The problem is that you can be mimatik, the pre. You could squeeze something in order to soften it and to mix it, so to speak, with the juice, not for the mashke. So when we said avolobari monim, we were talking about before the case of the pagayin, the prishim, the ozardin, which, by the way, was one of the fundamental ways of understanding why there's no problem of disha, because the etzem, this is a pu'ula of sweetening the pri, making the pri more easily edible. So what we thought before was that lamatkan, when it comes to rimonim, even if I'm just squeezing them to soften them, since Beit Menashe would be sochet for the tzorach of mashka, on Shabbos you can't squeeze even to be mamatik. Because since there are those who make it the tzorach of mashka, we're afraid, not because we're defining it as a mashka, not because we need to say Zeruba D'Alma, except that since there's always the possibility of actually drinking the juice, we're afraid that if we allow you to be mamatik, the pri, on Shabbos, once you're thinking about squeezing, you might think already about squeezing for the juice. But when it comes to the ozardin, the lower category, the only reason to squeeze it would be essentially to get yourself a better pri. So that's why he says, and here, where do we see it? By the case of tradin. We have tradin. They now are squeezed. You put them into the mikveh, the water into the mikveh, and it ends up passeling the mikveh, not with the shear of shlosha lugin mayim shuvim, because it certainly is not mayim shuvim. However, if you have other mashkin besides mayim, you can passel a mikveh with coloration. So there it passels b'shinui mar'eh, when there's enough of it in the mar'eh, you can now see a change in coloration. Now it becomes possible.
Is it a kosher mikveh, or is it
deposits? We have a mikveh that is chaser. So now it passes the mikveh shinui mar. This is the whole discussion of how much, when b'shinui back to markets. So now we asked over there, but it isn't even mashke because they're not b'nei schita, because tradim aren't squeezed. Elamayis lachlamim, or what are you going to say? That kiven da'akshavinu havi lehu mashke. That since to you it's important that they be a mashke, it's called a mashke vis-a-vis the mikveh. Are you Ruba the Alma? Could we look at you and say you're an idiot? But the point over here is that when it comes to akshavay is by definition a personal issue. That's the idea. I'm not trying to bring you a raya that it's a universal and therefore we should give it a din for Menashe ben Menachem. That isn't the thing. I'm just simply trying to show you that there's a way to be mashik something. That's how I was thinking along a different line. All that Reb Nachman meant to say was that you are mashik. Once you're mashik, it has been a mashik. Rav Papa Omar, Rav Papa says, that has nothing to do with mashkin. That's not a mashkin. You're making a mistake. You don't need a mashkin to pass on mikveh b'shinei mare. The din is anything that you can't use to make a mikveh will pass on a mikveh b'shinei mare, even if it doesn't have a din of a mashkin. It ended up making the difference. And it's a dover she'eino simi menu mikveh l'chatchila, and therefore it's irrelevant to our sugya. That's it. So in other words, now we're changing our whole approach. Before we thought we were talking about shchita, literal shchita, in the Ozardin and so on. Now we're saying we made a mistake. We weren't going to be matir mamir shchita lechatchila. We're talking about mitur, something which makes a pri easier to eat. And when I do that, some liquid will come out. But that's not the tachlis of what it is that I'm doing. It's not awesome. Now let's see if that's true. Nafalatoko yayin okhomets umocha. If now into a mikveh falls wine or vinegar or mochel. Now the problem is that mochel has a number of different meanings. A mochel of hashem, of zeitim. There are three different types of mochel, as we're going to see. The one that we usually talk about is one that comes out only at the end of the soup. And that is where you, remember the norm is you pick an olive. When you pick the olive, there's often a little bit of liquid that's very clear, like water. It comes out at that time. There we had Homachloka, Shama, Hilal, Cheshash, Shema, you'll use plastic bags, Zupafim. The other stage in which we'll see it's called Mufal, but nonetheless it's a different issue, is after the olives have been put into the akal, and they're left there. They're left there, and they heat from oxidation. And now they break down, and you start getting a lot of leakage. That leakage is also called Mufal. No, it's before even the first time. And then there's no pressure yet. There's no pressure.
Well, they've already cracked, put them in the...
Yeah, but there's no, they're right. Not, we're squeezing the shemen out. And then we have the leftovers after squeezing that we also have in it a little bit of leakage afterwards. And that little bit of leakage is also called mufa, but as we'll see, it has shemen in it. And there, for sure, it's going to be considered. So if some of this falls, yayin, chometz, or mufal, falls into a mikveh and changes its appearance, so then the mikveh is possible. So ask the Gemara, man tana the mufal mashkehu, because we thought at this time exactly what we had thought a moment ago about the trodim, that only a mashkeh will change the din of the mikveh if it discolors it. So who is the tana? It must be Yom Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov. Tani Rabbi Yaakov, Ben Mukhal, Arayu Ken Mashkeh, the very first stage of mukhal, that is only tahar because you don't want that. You're not planning on keeping it. And mashke, as we said before, is only considered to be mashke, to be mashke, kabbalah stuna, if it's kiyutas. You have to want it. But it certainly would be considered to be a mashke in terms of the pasuling the mikveh. That's what we thought. Rabbi Shimon Omer, that's, what are you talking about? Muchal having a din of a mashke, muchal ain't on get mashke. Ma tamru, tam amru, muchal ayotim yaiku beit habat tamei. You know why they say, it's the opposite side, you know why they say that if you have muchal that comes out at the end of the process, that it's definitely mekabel tumor, definitely mashke mekabel tumor, if you shef shalom, let's just look at shemeh. That's just the opposite, because it's got to have some oil mixed in it, because you already squeezed these olives. So therefore, we're talking now about the two extremes. We're talking about the first mukhal that you just put it into the sack, and we're talking about the last mukhal that you've already squeezed out the oil. We didn't talk about the middle. So each one is justifying his shita. Rabbi Yaakov is saying, look, I know you're going to be upset with me when I say that mukhal is a mashke. But the truth, because you say, well, why isn't it mashke if it's a mashke? And I'll tell you why it's not mashke. It's mashke because you don't want it. The other approach is, Rabbi Shimon says, what are you talking about? Mukhal is not a mashke. I know you'll be upset because you know that mukhal, it says, is mashir. That's talking about mukhal at the end that has shem in it. Fine. So now that means now that they're not arguing, apparently. Because, I mean, Rabbi Yaakov is made that the original one is not a mashir because you don't want it. And Rabbi Shimon is made that the last one is a mashir because it has shem in it. So where's the machlokas? The machlokas is in the middle. Ike binayo da'ati vater itzitza. Talking about where you left it in the sack over there because of the heating up and the pressure of the olives one on the other, not that you yourself press it. So over there, it indeed starts leaking now, and it stays there for a while. So there, the question is: there you want it because it's part of the process, and the shayla, and it doesn't have shemen in it yet because it hasn't been squeezed. So the shayla is now: what's that thing? There you have the machlokes with the Yaakov. And Rabbi Shimon.
Pressure itself causes the squeezing, so why would that cause?
That's not called shemen. Shemen requires pressure. So that's the case. So therefore, when we're talking about the case here of Shinui Mara, it must be going Aviva to Rabbi Yaakov. And it's talking about this Muchal. It's according to Tibet and Mashke. Rava Omar. So Rava says, no. Just like Rav Papa said before. A dover she'ena simi menu mikvah l'tatchila does not have to have a din of a mashke in order to pass over shinui mara. So too over here, this has nothing to do with the machlokes, and it's because mishum da'avi davar she'ena simi menu mikvah, and therefore it's pasul sa mikvah b'shinui mara. And there we can now end this part of our discussion, which again was tangential to our main question, which is what would be the reason for having the distinction of the Vidim Abdisha for Pagayim Prishin and Ozar. Fine. Getting back now to the main issue. The main issue is that we've been assuming all along that there is a Din Abdisha when it comes to Mashi. You now have introduced a new concept of those things in which there's no Disha, either because what comes out is not considered to be a separate thing, or because I'm not interested in what comes out, I'm interested in the pre itself. There's a third consideration. And that consideration is, what did it come out into? And this is nogeya, very much la'alach, as anyone who's ever squeezed a lemon on fish knows. A lemon and fish is based on the following statement. Says the Gemara, tremendous fish. Omer of Yudam Meshmuel, you can take an eshkol shalanavim, which is the biggest of all of the cases of dash, because that was the case in which it's aimed for that purpose, and in which you can't get it out unless you do the disha. And you could squeeze it like a tchila on Shabbat, as long as you're squeezing it, the toch hakeder, as long as you're squeezing it directly onto your food. If you squeeze it onto your food, you have not made a distinction between the before and the after. Because you had food before and you have food after, and therefore I don't see mashka over here at all. There's no intent for mashka, and memela it's not considered to be mafrid, a mashkin from Oakland. It's another way of consuming a grape as Oakland. And you could do this even lechatchila. Omer chista, but not into a ka'ara. Now, there are some who understand that the meaning of not into a ka'ara, because Rashi says, because sometimes a ka'ara is miyuchad from mashkin, that it's a function of the kli. Words, even if there's no mashkin in it, and you really are doing it for Oakland, it looks like you're doing it for mashkin. Almost everyone disagrees with Rashi. It's not a function of the kli, a ka'ara or a kedera. It's just a function of whether it's liquid or it's solid. So a kedera usually is solid, and a ka'ara is usually liquid, that's all.
No.
Rashi is saying food is in both dishes. But that is not makubal on all of the places.
If you have a plate or a car with
the it doesn't matter what it is. Depends on what it's going into.
What if you put it in the soup, which is a liquid?
No, but there it's liquid. That's a problem. It's the solid that makes it now mutter. Omer of Chista, midive rabbeinu nilmad. Choleva dam eiz the tofa kidera v'lo tofa kar. You do the same story when it comes to milking. If you want to milk into your pudding. You want to milk right out of the goat. You want to milk right out of the goat onto your porridge, as long as what's not liquid, onto your quiche. You can milk right onto your quiche, but not into a ka'ara, which means that you hold again, because mashka abola ochel is oak. Interesting. Alma kasava, mashka abola ochel, ochel. Okay? Now this, of course, seems to be saying that milking on Shabbos is a pu'ula of disha. Problem is, not everybody agrees to this, because disha, according to many, is only said by Gidulei Kark. And since a behemoth is not Gidulei Kark in the same sense of Gidulei Kark, therefore there should be no disha. And others find other reasons to make the chalav asur. Chaliva Asura, maybe not as Disha, they go through various other malachas, which would be maybe it's mamachek, maybe it's crushing, maybe whatever. Most hold that it's Asadirais. The Rambam says both things. He says that it's Disha, and he says, Ain't Disha, we do like Karp. So many learners, Parnaim is attempting to say, that Behem is called we do like Karp. We find often that we call Behem do like Karp because they're Mizgad al Allah. Right? And Mizgad al Allah Karp, they call those things. But some learn that Lemaisa, the Rambam may not be saying it's a D-Rex. Maybe it's only a D-Rabbanan. Of course, this makes a lot of Nafkaminas and Halacha, especially nowadays where you have the problem of milking on Shabbos, and many of the kids have seen problems of the milk that don't have the Hekshar of the Mahadrin is because of the fact that you're Cheshish, that maybe the milk was milked on Shabbos, and even though the Isser of the Pu'ula, the Malach on Shabbos, is only set on the person who does the Pu'ula, The thing is, though, that if he does it for someone else, then that person has the same gezeira for him. And since this is something that is done for all of the purchasers, so it should be also for them. And there are some who want to ask the entire dairy because of the fact that they pasteurize the silk, which means it became and become a serum. And now all of the
gezeira go... On Shabbos pasteurized?
No, because the milk is straight.
Straight?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it was milk on Shabbos.
But isn't it just the pleasure of the trade?
No, yes. If it was done for you, so then it's also the Yaila. The person who does it does it the Yaila. So now, that's also a trait. That's we use the word trait, meaning it's also about you, not that it's trait.
And with Asa
the Kalim? Then
with
Asa the Kalim.
We just ushered the whole
there. Well, that was the whole cottage cheese issue, wasn't it? Way back then.
And I thought they were just being silly.
So make it much
harder? No.
Wow.
It's a serious issue. Serious problem. Why is it shunning that it would answer also the. Aser also.
All milk products then are also.
So, in which case, all milk products that wouldn't have a mashgiach that said, this doesn't come from milk that was milked on Shabbos,
oh.
And that milk is given to all of the friarim out there who pay the same amount of money for trade milk, so then they only get the regular hechsher, not the mahajim.
Is that what you call so
then, according to that, there would be that also. Right? This all comes from this, assuming that you're doing a real malacha, you have a real problem.
Okay. There are minutes.
No. Then already there's a lot of other things to discern, I think.
The from kibbutzim just they throw away the milk?
No, the Chazanish has a whole way of to be called the akum and so on and so forth, which wouldn't be considered to be malacha on Shabbos. The truth is that if the malacha is done by machine, which it is today, nobody milks on Shabbos, so then the shayla is bechlal, where would the yisur be? Plugging up an udder to a machine is not itself a tu'ula of kaliva. Okay, there's a look. This has become a highly ta'un issue because of the old machlokas and the kibbutzim and political issues of kashrus, and therefore it's very difficult to get a clear cut p'sak on these issues, especially because the Chazon Ish put some very emotional piskei halachas into place in this thing. But Lamai said that we do make an afkamina theoretically. The attempt is to be machalic between those dairies that milk on Shabbos, those dairies that don't milk on Shabbos. The milk that's milked on Shabbos is appears in market on certain days, not on other days, and the Shabbos is going to be making like how it came in, et cetera, et cetera. This is the marker of the little six. When do we meet?